You may be seated. I invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, as we continue our study of the life of David as it's recorded for us in 1 and 2 Samuel. This morning we come to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to pick up our reading at verse 31. We've been making our way through this chapter the last 2 weeks, the familiar story of David and Goliath, and many wonderful truths for us to consider together in these passages. And so this morning we'll be looking at verses 31 through 40. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through these verses together. Dear friends, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full and undivided attention to it. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've made our way through 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have already met the enemy, the Philistine champion, Goliath of Gath, a giant. We've seen his armor and his weapons. We've heard his mocking words, his words of accusation, his words of challenge. And we've also met the man from God's own heart, David, a keeper of sheep. He has no armor. He has no weapons. But we've already heard his words. Before the actual confrontation is engaged between David and Goliath, between the giant and the shepherd, we're given a few more verses that focus our attention on David's words. The text is inviting us, drawing us in to listen closely to the words of the shepherd. And so we focus in on David's words this morning, the words of the shepherd boy from Bethlehem. David has seen the Philistine giant go down into the valley. David has heard his words, the words of mockery, those words of accusation, those words of challenge, where Goliath has said now well over 40 times, morning and evening, "I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." Well, over against the words of the giant, listen to the words of the shepherd. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Last week we saw David asking that very question to his brothers, but then also making his way through the troops of Israel, making his way through the ranks of Israel, asking this question over and over again: "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" His accusations need to be met. His challenges need to be met. He needs to be silenced because he has defied the armies of the living God. God's honor is at stake. Well, the men have heard David's words, and now we learn in verse 31 that they repeated David's words before Saul. Nobody was saying anything like this. For 40 days now and 40 nights, nobody was saying anything like what David was saying. Nobody was seeing things as David saw things. Nobody else was speaking such words as this young shepherd boy was speaking. And so when David's words were repeated to Saul, Saul sent for David. This is really the first action that Saul has taken in this episode. He's not gone forth to fight. He's not been willing to lay down his life for his people. All Saul has done so far is to offer a reward to the man who is willing to do what he is too afraid and too cowardly to do himself. He's offered riches. He's offered a princess. He's offered tax relief. Fairly good incentives. And yet there has not been a single man to come forward to fight the Philistine and to silence his accusations. You see, the cowardly fear of their king has taken hold of every one of the men of Israel. Saul was no shepherd king, you see. He was a hireling. He saw Goliath coming, and he fled. He didn't care for the sheep of Israel enough to lay down his life for them. He was not willing to do anything for the sheep himself, but he was willing to have another man fight for him. And so when he heard the words of David, he sent for David. And notice in verses 31 and 32 that when David comes to Saul, when this young shepherd, this young servant boy comes into the presence of the king, it's David who speaks first, not the king. The emphasis, again, is all on David's words. This is a text that is inviting us to come in, drawing us to come in and to listen to the words of the shepherd. The words of the hireling king will do us no good. The words of the shepherd king are the words we need to hear. Listen to what David says, verse 32. "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." We've seen in these last couple of chapters the emphasis on David as a shepherd. And the words that we are hearing in our text this morning are the words of a shepherd. As a shepherd, David was a man who cared for his sheep. That's how we were first introduced to him, out in the fields caring for his father's sheep. And even when his father summoned him to go and bring provisions to his brothers there at the battle line, remember, David didn't leave the sheep until he was sure they were in good hands and they would be kept by another keeper of the sheep. David cared for his sheep. Cared for them in such a way that they lacked nothing. How often he had made his sheep lie down in green pastures. How often he had led them beside still waters. How often he had led them in good paths. He cared for them. He knew them. He knew them by name. And he called them. And he spoke to them. And in those times when it was necessary for the sheep to walk through those deep and dark valleys, they didn't fear because they knew their shepherd was with them, that he wouldn't leave them there in that valley. He comforted them with his rod and his staff, even in those times when it was necessary for him to lead them into the presence of enemies. He protected them and fed them there. He led his sheep with the heart of a shepherd, so that his sheep knew goodness and mercy all the days of their lives and were safe in the sheepfold of their shepherd. Sheep, of course, need a shepherd, don't they? They need to hear the voice of their shepherd. Sheep, by nature, are fearful creatures, and they scatter quickly. They go their own way quickly. They get lost very quickly. And David knew the value of his voice in speaking to his sheep when danger lurked on the horizon, when predators threatened the flock. He would speak to them. He would call them by name. They would hear his voice, and they would follow him. They knew he would lay down his life for them. And so when we hear these words of David in verse 32, these are the words of a shepherd. Words that were intended to bring calm and comfort and assurance. Let no man's heart fail because of this giant. I will go and fight with him. These were the words the troops desperately needed to hear. These were the words Saul desperately needed to hear. Here is a young shepherd boy who will do for the people what their tall and handsome king would not do. Don't be afraid, he says. I'll fight for you. Well, Saul will have none of it. Verse 33. He hears the words of David, but they fall on deaf ears. Saul says to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." Yeah, Saul speaks in our passage too, but his words don't bring calm. They don't bring comfort. They don't bring assurance. They are the words of a hireling. In fact, in many ways, Saul's words, the words of the king, are an obstacle to David. They are words that David needs to overcome. Here's the king telling him, "You can't go and fight. You're not able to do it." Indeed, Saul sounds a lot like Goliath, doesn't he? Goliath, who says, "There's no man who can come and fight with me." And as we'll see next Lord's Day, when David finally comes, what does Goliath say? "You're a youth!" Saul and Goliath sound so very much alike. And they sound so very much alike because both Saul and Goliath are men who judge by what they see. They judge by appearances. And so Saul is not impressed with David. David is but a youth. Saul is impressed with Goliath. Goliath is a giant. And a man who has been a man of war from his youth. Saul sees as man sees. He doesn't look on the heart. He doesn't hear the words of the shepherd. He rejects the Lord's anointed. Well, notice how David responds in verses 34 and following. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." These are the words not of a hireling, but the words of a shepherd, a keeper of the sheep. In those times when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, he would go after the lion or bear and strike them and deliver the lamb out of the mouth of the enemy. And in those times when the bear or lion would rise up against him, he would strike it down and kill it. Notice, as David recounts these episodes to Saul, notice how he puts the protection of his sheep before himself. You can picture the scene in your mind. There is David, perhaps at night, resting in the sheepfold with his beloved sheep, and a lion or a bear sneaks in and snatches one of the lambs in its mouth and begins to run away with it. David could have just let it go, but at danger to his own life, he runs after the bear, runs after the lion, strikes it down, delivers the lamb. He was willing to lay down his life for the sheep, willing to give his life for his beloved lambs. He delivered them out of the mouth of the enemy, truly a keeper of the sheep. And now David says, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He will be struck down like a wild animal. And he tells us why. Because this uncircumcised Philistine has defied the armies of the living God. You see, as David comes forward, ready to fight, ready to do battle with the Philistine giant, he's not interested in Saul's reward. He's made no mention of riches, no mention of the princess, no mention of tax relief. He's interested in the honor of the living God. And he's interested in the honor of the living God because his trust and his confidence is in God alone. You see that in verse 37. David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And here, David invokes the covenant name of the Lord, the name Yahweh, that name that refers to him as the great king, the one who has delivered him in the past from lions and bears, is the same one who will deliver me now in the present and in the future from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. David isn't boasting in his own strength. He's not boasting in his own skill. He's not boasting in his own ability or his own resources. His boast is in the Lord. He's known the steadfast love of God. He's known the faithfulness of God. He's known the promises of God. God has never failed him once. And David is absolutely confident he will not fail him now. And so Saul responds, verse 37, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Saul responds with a benediction. He even invokes the covenant name of the Lord. What Saul pronounces upon David, "The Lord be with you," is the very thing he doesn't have. The Lord is not with Saul. The Lord is with David. This is the thing that separates David and Saul. The Lord is with David. The Lord is not with Saul because Saul has rejected the word of the Lord. And Saul makes it abundantly clear that the Lord is not with him in the verses that follow. Look at verses 38 and 39. "Then Saul clothed David with his armor." If Saul really believed that the Lord would be with David, there was no need for armor. He could have simply said, "Go, and the Lord be with you." But that's not enough for Saul. His trust is not in the covenant God of Israel. And so Saul clothes David now with his own armor. He puts a helmet of bronze on his head and clothes him with a coat of mail. And David straps his sword over his armor. He tries to go, but does so in vain. And he finally says to Saul, "I can't go with these because I've not tested them." And so he puts them off. It's a vivid scene unfolding here in verses 38 and 39 as Saul clothes David with his own armor, clothes him as a king in his own image. Yes, clothed with Saul's armor, David must have looked like a little Saul. Saul would make David a king in his own image. And for a few moments, there stood David, clothed in the armor of Saul, looking like a miniature of Israel's rejected king. David tried in vain to go in Saul's armor. Some translations say he tried walking about, but he couldn't hardly even walk. Here was a little shepherd boy clothed in the armor of the tallest man in Israel. He must have looked somewhat ridiculous. This armor just hanging down over him. He could hardly move in it. And this is what he was supposed to go and fight the great champion of Gath in? And so David says to Saul, I can't go with these. Saul had said to David earlier in the passage, you can't fight with Goliath. And now David says to Saul, no, I can't fight Goliath, at least not in your armor, not in your image. You see, Saul continues to be an obstacle to David. His words were an obstacle. David couldn't go forth and fight listening to the words of Saul. Saul's armor is an obstacle. David can't go forth and fight Goliath in the armor of Saul. You understand what's being communicated to us here then. David cannot rely on his king. David cannot rely on Saul. He couldn't accept Saul's words. He couldn't use Saul's armor. The king couldn't give him the resources he needed for the fight. His words were faithless. His armor was clumsy. And what good would be his rewards? Riches, a princess, tax relief. None of those things would help in fighting the giant. Saul, the rejected king, has proven himself to be an utter failure in providing the resources his people would need. So look at what David did instead. He took them off. And then verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. David's weapons are a staff, 5 stones, a shepherd's pouch, and a sling. David goes forth as a shepherd to meet the enemy. His weapons are not the weapons of this world. He doesn't need them. He has something far better. He has faith in the living God. It wasn't Saul who equipped David to fight. It wasn't Saul who gave him the resources he needed for the fight. It was the Lord God himself who equipped David to fight. It was the Lord God himself who gave David the resources he needed. And so, beloved, it is with you and me. So it is with you and me, as sheep of the Good Shepherd. It is in Jesus that we have all the resources we need. His word is not the word of a hireling. The armor he gives is not armor that is clumsy and will do us no good. Our Good Shepherd is the one whose word we can rely upon. He is the one who says to us, you can stand in the battle. You can stand firm in the fight. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And when you are tempted, I will also provide a way out, a way of escape that you may stand up under it. And what is that way of escape? How do we stand in these evil days? How do we stand in the face of temptation? We stand in Christ and in the power of His gospel. That's what takes away our fear. That's what answers the accusations of the enemy of our souls. That's what takes away our doubt and our despair. That's what gives us strength to stand firm in the evil day, even in the evil of these days. Those words, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out, a way of escape that you may be able to stand. Those words come to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Do you know what comes immediately after that? Right after we're told that there is a way of escape, a way out, a way to stand. Do you know what comes right after that? The Lord's Supper. In Jesus, we have all the resources we need to stand, to overcome, to stand in this evil day. Because Christ gives to us His gospel. He gives that gospel to us in the preaching of the Word. He gives us Himself and all of His benefits. But as our shepherd, He knows the weakness of our faith. And He knows how much we need Him. He knows how hard it can be to stand firm in these evil days, to not give in to temptation, to not listen to all the attacks that are coming against us from the devil, the world, and our own flesh. He knows how much we need to be nourished and refreshed and strengthened. And so He invites us to His table that we might get a better hold of Him, that we might share more fully in Him and in all of His benefits, that we might partake of His true body and true blood, that we would find in Him all the resources we need to stand against the great enemy of our souls. And it becomes very, very practical for us then, doesn't it? Even as the words of the shepherd were put over against the words of the giant here in 1 Samuel 17, so we can put the word of our good shepherd over against the lies of Satan as we do battle with him. It's what the Puritans of old used to say, is preaching the gospel to yourself. Satan calls you unclean. And you think over the past week, you think over the past couple of days, you think over even the hours of this very morning, and maybe you feel very unclean. Your shepherd calls you clean. Satan says you're guilty, and maybe you feel the weight of your guilt, sins committed long ago, great sins, sins of which you are ashamed, perhaps familiar sins that you give into over and over again, and Satan comes and says, guilty, and that word takes hold. But your shepherd says, not guilty. Satan says you're a sinner, and you know that. You see it in your life. You see it in your heart. But your shepherd comes and says, you are forgiven. Forgiven of all your sins. Satan says, you don't belong. Your shepherd says, you're mine. Satan says, Jesus isn't enough. Jesus says, I'm all you need. You see, Satan is a liar. He has been a liar from the beginning. When he lies, he speaks his native language. It's all he knows. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, as we'll hear in a moment as we come to the table, don't let your weaknesses or your failures in the Christian life keep you from the table. It was given to you because of your weaknesses and because of your failures, in order to increase your faith by feeding you with the body and blood of Christ. We need this table that Christ has set for us in the presence of our enemies. Because we still wander. We still stray. We still go our own way. We still get lost. We still sin. But our shepherd does not give up on us. Our shepherd pursues us with His goodness and His mercy. He holds on to us. And here at the table, He tells us, I put you on my shoulders, and I'm taking you home to the sheepfold where you are safe and secure. And so, beloved, don't depend on your own resources, upon your strength, upon your resolve, upon your promises to God. Lean into Christ. Find strength in His resolve to hold on to you. Stand upon His promises, the promises of God, which are all yes and amen to you in Christ. David took 5 little stones against a seemingly invincible enemy. You have something far greater against your sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and your own flesh. You have the promises of God. You have the gospel. You have Christ, your shepherd king. His word to you, beloved, this day is to come to his table, where he gives you himself and all of his benefits, where he says to you, I have delivered you from the mouth of the enemy, and I will never, never give you up. Your shepherd says to you this day, I am all you need. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we are so thankful that we have all the resources we need for living the Christian life, for standing in the evil day, for facing the great enemy of our souls. We have all the resources we need in Christ and in Christ alone. And we're so grateful that you have taken consideration of us in our weakness. You know how weak our faith is and how much we need to be strengthened and nourished and refreshed unto everlasting life. And so you've given us the gospel not only to hear with our ears in the ministry of the word, but to see with our eyes, to smell with our noses, to touch with our fingers, to taste with our mouths here at the table. Because here too you declare your gospel to us. So grant to us a fair meeting with Christ. And may we stand firm in this evil day. May we stand in Christ and in his gospel. For we pray all these things in his name. Amen.